The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Wonderful, Wondrous, Wait a Second, Wowzers, Why That's Amazing Wednesday, as we remember that we are sanctified by the truth and that God's word is truth, which directly reflects Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. First up, okay, God. Now just get inside this box that I've created for you and make sure that you don't break it open or I'll whine and pout. Next, it's double whammy. No making peace with the enemies of God and no rejoicing when your enemy falls. Neither nor. And finally, pressure washers are really effective, but people pressure washers are really dangerous, so stick to your guns, Will Sonnet.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. Local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Three very good things. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. I got a little fob story for you. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey. So much more. And we're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can reach out to us by text, as you know, 214-210-8483. I can smack into the microphone with my face again. Watch, I can do this. Watch. Oh. Okay. Or you can call in 972-445-0770. If you call in, Terrific T will be really nice. She'll just hand you off to me, and then you're on your own. But you can do it either way. It can be for praise reports, prayer requests. It can be pop questions. Be something that's on your mind, or it can be for trivia. And let's start off with the simplistic trivia of the day. In what book of the Bible do we find the story about the sun standing still? The sun standing still. What book of the Bible is that in? Keep in mind, folks, any topic is open for conversation. Why? Because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. First and foremost, let's start off by saying hi to T. Hi, T. How you doing?
Hi. How's it going? I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. You ready for a little DNA?
I'm ready for the DNA.
All right, here we go. DNA, three things that you're made of no matter what happens in life. These are the part of your consistency as a Christian. The DNA is what your building blocks are. Here's the first one. D, draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
How often?
Daily.
Daily. Not every week. Going Wednesday night and Sunday morning doesn't make you a Christian any more than walking through your garage makes you a car.
That's okay? Right.
So remember that. So draw close to the Lord daily. N, never be ashamed. And A, always be ready.
To serve.
To serve. That's what the Christians are supposed to be made as. That doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what the news is. First of all, Psalm 112, verse 7 says we have no fear of bad news. We talked about that yesterday. Doesn't matter what the news is because we trust in the Lord. We are in perfect peace because our mind is on him. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David. This is Al again.
Hey, Al. How are you?
I'm good. And you?
Good. I mean, it's been what, 24 hours? So it's been a long time. Has anything major happened?
Yeah. No, I had a nice little 23-hour break, and so that was good.
Excellent answer, my friend. Yeah. Excellent job. All right, so it's a pretty straightforward. The son was told to not move no more. Don't move. Okay, now if I can get my actual son when he was five to do that, that'd be amazing. But this is actually the son's son. What book is that found in?
Well, isn't there two books that it may be in, Habakkuk and Joshua?
Definitely Joshua. So ding, ding, ding. The question might actually be, it might actually be in the Isaiah text where they say, well, give us a sign. He says, well, let the shadow go back a few steps. There could be some in that as well. But the primary is Joshua when he's beating Joshua, everybody up and he's just like going, you know, everything stop. which is like, by the way, I think that is a common Christian prayer. We just all go, okay, universe, stop. Everybody stop. Just everything stop. Stop. Yeah. Everything stop. And yep. And then the Lord gave him great victory. So excellent job on that one.
All right, brother. Have a good day.
All right. Thank you, brother. God bless.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Couple things to tell you real quickly. I want you to know that on our website, which we'll do the pump about that later, the He Must Increase later, there, if you go on the website, there's a bumper sticker up there. You can thank Eric for it. So we ordered several more bumper stickers that are supposed to arrive by Friday, maybe by Monday at the latest. If you want a bumper sticker, you can just go on the website, hemustincrease.org, click on it, and then fill out the little form. We don't share it or anything like that. And then I will send it to you. So I'm sending Eric some bumper stickers, and anybody else that wants to do that should be on the site, should work. If it doesn't, somebody needs to let me know, but just click on it. It's the famous bumper sticker. Plus, he might get another present or two because Eric's been really helpful, and we appreciate that. I'm not sure he's going to consider it a present, but that's a whole separate discussion. I got to get into the teaching, so I'm going to talk about the FOB in the next one. But sufficient to say, I did spend 15 minutes in the parking lot yesterday going, oy vey. But I did get home, and I am here, and all is good. Let's go first into the teaching. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 12. It will come about when I leave you that the Spirit of the Lord will carry you where I do not know. The priest was talking to the prophet. And the priest was very concerned because the prophet said, go get Ahab. And he said, as soon as I go get Ahab and get this guy and bring him back, you're going to be like in Splitsville. I don't even know where you're going to be. Because the Holy Spirit's going to lead you, I don't know. Maybe you'll go to California and open up Disneyland. I don't know. Here's the key. The Spirit will do I don't know what. Here's the big theological key for us as Christians. God does not need your permission or mine to do what he's going to do. He doesn't need your permission, your theology, my permission, my theology, the most brilliant minds in the world, the greatest theologians in the world. God does not come down and go, let me consult with you guys and see what you all think about this idea that I have. I'm going to raise the dead. I mean, no, but he's not consulting anybody to do the things that he wants to do. And the idea behind that is for you and I to get a handle on, or maybe get a grasp, that God does what God does without reviewing it with us. Will he do something contrary to his word? No. But will he change certain principles to do certain things he wants to accomplish? I don't know. He's God. And you think, well, how can that be? Well, Enoch, as you know, was 300 years old, and he disappeared and never died. And some people say, well, he must come back as part of the two witnesses. See, that person has lost their mind. And here's why. God will do what God wants to do and will not ask you or I for permission. He doesn't need our permission, doesn't need mine, doesn't need yours. He's going to do whatever he wants. And what he does to others, watch this, what he does to others, what he does with others, and what he does for others, wait, and what he does in others, did you get that? What he does to others, what he does with others, what he does for others, and what he does in others is not centered in our theology. You might think, well, that, no, he's got to fit in my box. No, he does not. He does not have to fit in your box. And most of the time, people are just like, bah. Why? Because the Lord does what he wants with different people in different ways at different times. And the reality check is for people that think he must do everything the exact same is just think about your own children, how you don't even treat them the same. Why would God do that? It's like, what are you talking? Yeah, the love is the same. The commitment is the same. The grace is unlimited. The mercy is unlimited. That's not what I'm talking about. It's what God does in their lives. I might encourage one child who's very artistic to maybe go towards arts. I might encourage another child who's very sports and athletic-wise to go to sports and athletic materials. That kind of mindset. It just depends. And as a dumb human parent, if I can figure that out, how much truer for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Right? Okay. Was that a pizza call, or is that something you want to cover later? All right, no problem. So in John 3:8, it says, "The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear the sound, but you cannot tell where it's coming from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." And here's the thing. The thing is, if you're a Bible-believing, born-again Christian, the Lord has many wonderful plays working in your life. He's creating more of a Christ-likeness in you. It's fantastic. But what he's doing in you doesn't necessitate he's doing the same way in somebody else. Why I'm saying that is because it has become quite clear to me in the last, year that people get mad at other Christians because God is doing something different. And it's like, how could you do that? How can you be mad that somebody is going through something different and God is working with them in a different capacity or at a different level or a different way to teach them a different thing than he is to you? God doesn't run stuff by you and me. Now look, the word is the plumb line. The word of God is our absolute authority, okay? Not our feelings. But God doesn't go, I think I'll check in with Dave to make sure that what I'm doing in this person's life is okay. It doesn't work that way. It has never, nor will it ever. God is the king. He's in charge. We're part of the family. Remember, Israel, one nation, 12 tribes, different culture, different function, different elements in each. All of them supposed to be reverent before the Lord and supporting one another as they move as one man. Get it? The reason I bring that up is because if somebody's got something different going on, praise the Lord if they're drawing into him. And if they're not, then pray that they do, because that's what we should be doing. Okay. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
The David Spoon Experience.
So in this position, I have the opportunity to interview people and have so for the last 5 years from all across the range of Christianity, from authors and from actors and musicians. We are about to have an opportunity we've never had on this show. We actually have Lee Strobel on the phone with us. It was 19 years ago, I believe, this September 1st, where his book came out, The Case for Christ. If you're Jewish like I am and then became a Christian, that was when you went, oy vey, this book was a life changer for many, and now it's a movie. Lee, are you there on the phone with us?
I am, David. How you doing, my friend?
I am doing fantastic. Thrilled to have you on the show. It's
Thank you. My privilege.
I just we got to start. I know they give you a list of questions just so you can know, Lee. I never use them. So
good for you.
It's like, come on. I want to tell you, we're brothers here in the Lord. Talk to me. First of all, you wrote this book, The Case for Christ. Let's first talk about the writing of the book, and then we'll talk about that connection to the movie. Why did you write this book?
Well, I didn't start out to do that. I mean, I was an atheist. My wife became a Christian. So in order to try to rescue her from this Christian cult, I decided to use my journalism training and legal training and disprove Christianity to show that the resurrection never really happened. Of course, I ended up coming to the opposite conclusion and ended up coming to faith. But I did this investigation for my own edification, for my own education, not because I wanted to write a book. And then it was actually later my wife said to me, hey, you ought to write a book about that. I said, really? And she said, sure. So that's how the book came about.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. All right, let's get ready for our next big trivia question. That is a fancy way to say question. Before I do, I'll tell you what happened yesterday. So yesterday, I'm in the park that I told you I was worried about the little fob scenario, and that was a definite concern. So I opened up the key the way that they tell you to on like the 5,000 videos they have, and then I pulled the battery out, pulled it back in, and then put it all together, and then went out to my car yesterday after the show and then went, you know, you're supposed to take the fob and put it against the start button, and then it's supposed to start. Okay, it doesn't even have like a secondary, there's no key or anything. There's like a key for the glove compartment or something. So I did that, and I did that, and so I did that for about 15 minutes, and I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, I know I'm doing this the way they're saying. I must be missing something. And I know people were praying for me because the thought popped in my head, you have the battery in backwards. Like, so I open up the thing again, the little fob. I look at the battery. I put it in upside down when I opened it the first time, so it couldn't register it. So then I put it in the right way, close it up, hit the thing, and it turned right on. So I think people that were praying for me were praying, and that the Lord was like going, this guy is so dumb. just tell him. For crying out loud, just tell him. Okay. All right. All right. Let me go to the trivia question now. You're the ones who are listening to the show. You can't get mad at me.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Yeah, you're killing me. All right. Where did Job live? How's that? That's pretty straightforward. That's the trivia question. Where did Job live? By the way, don't forget about our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. By the way, I want everybody to know, go to the website. If you go on there and you click on the very top, there's the opportunity to get the bumper stickers. Like I said, that came through Eric, who wanted to get some extra bumper stickers, so we ordered a little batch. And if you just fill it out, you can we'll send it to you. It's not going to happen like overnight. I'm not overnighting a $5 bumper sticker to you. Just so you can know. It'll take a little bit of time, but that's all cool. In the meantime, don't forget, because this is this the 14th? Is this the 14th? We're definitely behind in the giving. Last month was like one of our best months. This month is now turning out to be one of our worst months. You know how that goes. And so we're just asking you guys to kind of take a peek at that. And if there's something that the Lord has enabled you to do something with, great. And if not, we expect you to pray for us. We do expect you to pray for us. Okay, where was Job from? Pretty straightforward question there. We got the website done. I think we've got everything done. The good question that was asked is how long was that time with Isaiah when the steps went backward? I know it was 10 steps, so I don't know if it's 10 minutes or not, but the shadow went back 10 steps. I'm not sure how much time that was, but I don't know. Probably, I don't know. Maybe it says somewhere 15 minutes. I'm not sure. But anyway, 10 steps. We know that for sure. Okay. Got that done. I hope you guys love me. And by the way, Friday I'm talking about sex. I just thought I'd throw that in your direction. People are like going, what did you just say? Okay. 1 Kings 22. This is the what we call a double whammy. 1 Kings 22, 42 through 24, 24 through 42. I inversed them. Anyway, here's what it says. It says, Jehoshaphat was 35 years old when he became king. He reigned 25 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of Shili, and he walked in all the ways of Asa, his father, and did not turn aside from doing right in the sight of the Lord. That's very good. However, the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed to burn incense in the high places, and Jehoshaphat made peace with the king of Israel. Let me just say this real quickly, okay? Jehoshaphat made peace with the king of Israel, and the king of Israel was repugnant as a king, so much so that the prophet wouldn't even look at him in the face. I mean, literally, he was so repugnant. And the point of this, there's two points that I want to make to you. One, it is not for the people of God to make peace with the enemies of God. And so you can understand the level or the depth, this was one of the big breakouts in my master's program for theological study, where people were saying, well, we don't want to be offensive. And it's like that mindset, we don't want to be offensive, means that they were willing to curtail the truth in order not to offend, which is how they've introduced 10,000 of these absolutely ridiculous doctrines in the church. And it's like you're going, the idea is that it wasn't that Jesus wasn't offensive. In fact, if you read Matthew chapter 10:38, you find out Jesus said, I didn't come to send peace, but a sword. I mean, Jesus has created more division than anybody. He'll tell you that. He'll say it. Just read what he has to say. He doesn't care. The peace he brought was between God and mankind, but not everybody in mankind is going to be a part of that program. And the reality check is that we don't make peace with the enemies of God. It's not a get-along-to-get-along mindset. Listen, you either live for the author or you live for the audience. Pick. But you're not going to live for both. It's not going to work. You cannot please the world and the worldly people by being a Christian. If you want to please the world, don't be a Christian. Just reject Christ and say no to eternity and go do whatever you're going to do. You think, well, how can you say that? It's because you don't make peace with the enemies of God and people that are against God. I mean, I don't know how much of this television stuff you're watching, but these people that are asking some of these questions and so on and so forth in the Supreme Court, these people that are our representatives, some of these people are nuts. I mean, it's just crazy. They're more anti-God. I mean, Satan doesn't have to hide. He can just be out there, and nobody would say anything. The biggest problem is that they couldn't see him if he was out there in a suit, even if it was red. It's just like, what is going on? So you don't make peace with the enemies of God. You make peace with God and whoever he brings into a peaceful relationship. That's different. But you don't change. You don't conform. You don't undo your faith. You don't change that we are supposed to, in order to live, we die. In order to believe, in order to see it, we believe it. In order to receive, we give. And we don't change any of those principles. And those principles that are established in that word are not negotiable with the world. Well, tell you what, we'll take away one adultery and one theft, and you give us one murder and one lie. This is not how this goes. This is not the system. The system is you stand for the truth, and if people don't like it and they're the enemies of God, guess what? They're not going to like it. If they didn't like Jesus, why would they like you? I mean, that's what Jesus said. He said, they didn't like me, they're not going to like you. That's the world. That's the way it goes. On the second side of that, it says this. It came about that Ahab heard these words, and he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and fasted, and he lay in sackcloth and went about despondently. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, do you see how Ahab has humbled himself before me? Because he has humbled himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days. I will bring the evil upon his house and his sons and his sons' days. And then there's this other group of Christians who not only – you got one side, you got a group of Christians that are like, I just want everybody to get along. I'll compromise all my truth. Then you have this other part that say, darn, that person repented. It's like, wait, that's the other side of the wrong coin that you're still on. Proverbs 24:17 says, do not gloat when your enemy falls. When they stumble, do not let your heart rejoice. The second side of that coin is you, when the enemy falls, not you going, yay, my enemy fell. Because there should be some element where compassion was received in your life. You receive compassion. It should produce compassion for others. If they fall, you want to pray that that will bring them to the Lord, not that you can dance on their grave. You understand that difference? So either one of those, I'm just going to compromise so that everybody can love me. Well, good. You can get shot at from both sides. That's a great idea. And on the flip side, you shouldn't be dancing a jig when your enemy falls. You can dance the jig when the Lord comes and the Lord does all his job. But anybody who falls, you want them to find redemption. You don't want them to be lost. You don't want them to shake their fist at God while they're in the clay or the dirt or in the sand and they're just like, nothing's working out. I'm completely dying. You want God to reach to them and them to respond. And so what bothers me is that we go to both extremes. And there's Christians that are going to both extremes. I'll compromise everything. I don't want to irritate anybody. Okay, well, that's not genius. Or this, let everybody suffer at the hands and wrath of God. Okay, that's not – what is wrong with you people? Stop that. When my dog does something wrong, you know what I say? I say, stop that, Levi. It's like, listen, if you're going to do something like that, that's what you get. Don't rejoice when they fall. You know what? You should pray that God will help them. And don't compromise so that they like you, because they won't like you 5 minutes later no matter what. So stop that. You live for the author, not the audience, but you don't dance a jig when they're falling down. Because it's the mercy of God that lets you be in a place to understand that you're not them. Hopefully you understand that. All right. Okay, where did Job live? Now, if anybody says on the earth, that's kind of cheating. Okay, so let me just pull that one back from anybody thinking they're going to get props from that on earth. That's good. He lived in the land of Uz. Uz. I don't care how you want to say it. Uzi. All right, got to go. All right, here's our break. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Or the president of Focus on the Family. When you got that position, I'm talking the initial
moment that you knew you were getting that position, were you thinking, what?
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking. Given my background, I was going, no, no, no. In fact, I got home, said to my wife, Jean, this is what I've been asked today. And she looked at me and said, who would have thunk it? That summed it up. That was that entire day. I was just like, oh, my goodness. My wife and I used to pray for the poor guy coming behind Dr. Dobson.
Now you were praying for yourself. You didn't even know it.
That's exactly right. Does he have a sense of humor or what?
That's great stuff. Excellent material and an excellent interview, Jim. I really appreciate it. You did a great job, and I just want to thank you from my whole heart just for all the work that you're doing, for the people that you're blessing, and for this project that you guys have been working on Irreplaceable. Nice job.
Thanks, David.
It's incredible. And it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple. And there's three ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media. And on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section. And it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video, but you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Hey, don't forget about Glenn in September. They have their website, livinginhisgrip.com, where you can get some of our music for free under the Hymn Project, H-Y-M-N. Let's see. I'm already getting used to it. I got Lefty 2.0 on my head. People that have no idea what I'm talking about. I have another headset that's one ear. And then one gripper on the side of your head kind of thing. And I just came this morning, $24. It's like, what a deal. That was a great deal. So I'm real happy about that. Let's get into our next trivia question. Very forward classic. Just got to think about this. Your answer is going to be in 2 Kings. What is the name of the Bible person who took all the gold articles out of Solomon's temple? And we're not talking about the side of his head. What is the name of the Bible person who took all the gold articles out of Solomon's temple? Okay, 214-210-8483. And by the way, these questions are getting harder, if you have not noticed. So you can look it up. Okay, that's why I gave you that reference. Just so you can know, I want people to be able to look it up. It's also actually sometimes better to look it up. 2 Kings. I'll give you that. If you need a chapter, I'll give it to you after that. Don't forget about our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okie dokie. We're going to get into our history in just a second. Two things I want to tell you up ahead of time. Number one, I'm wearing a new shirt today, and I figured out that not every shirt looks good. I put the shirt on. I went outside, and I was like, I looked in the mirror. I thought, this doesn't even look good. Do you ever do that? Do you ever buy clothes and put it on, and you put it on, you're looking at it, and you're like going, this is a bad look. I don't need something that makes me look larger in life. I would rather have something that's comfortable. This is neither. This neither makes me, does not make me look slim, and is not comfortable.
It's okay. That's how I usually do. Like if I'll think about an outfit that I want to wear and then I put it on and it doesn't go with what I thought my mindset was, I just put something else on.
Yeah. I should have done that before I got in the car and drove down here 37 miles. That's probably a good idea. A little bit of learning there. You know, hey, I'm not a fashion guy. If you looked at my Facebook post, I've got all these masks and they're all really cool, but took 5 years for me to change the colors of my socks, just so you could know. Not my strong point in life, people. That's not my strong point. Let's talk about history. What do we got for history?
Let's go living.
All right, we're going to get into history. A lot of you say, why do you break up the different teaching when you talk about some personal stuff or like that? And it's because so sometimes the teachings can get intense, and sometimes you need to just breathe and relax in your mind. You know, I know that sounds bizarre, but kind of like cleaning your palate before you take the next meal. All right, let's be aware of this. Today, by the way, speaking of palates, is National Dessert Day. Come on. It's National Dessert Day. I mean, I even go for a hot apple pie from McDonald's. I don't care. I just love it.
See, you know? Just for that, I'm getting some ice cream.
That's such a good day. I put it down twice on the piece of paper. It's also Take Your Teddy Bear to Work Day. I didn't really have a teddy bear. Did you have a teddy bear?
Yep, I still do, and she is in my closet just, you know, dusting it up.
The creepy one was the one I got my kid, that Teddy Ruxpin thing where it talked. And you can record stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's just move on. All right. For those that want to know the reason why it's National Teddy Bear Day, in 1926, the children's book Winnie the Pooh is first published. Yes, I know what the guy's thinking was in the background, but it doesn't mean that Winnie the Pooh wasn't cute. Just relax. On this day in 1964, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. For those that do not know, the doctorate that Martin Luther King Jr. had, and 99% of the people that use his name have no idea what his doctorate was in, which I think is amazing. It was in systematic theology. That's one of my favorite areas. Those are the 10 basic, where you get the 10 basic theological themes, and just excellent area. Also, in 1947, on this day, Chuck Yeager piloted the first level flight that ever went faster than the speed of sound. See? Just like that routine out the door. Okay, let's get into the next teaching. Did I get everything? Did I cut? Okay. I have to check with T now because I don't remember. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 16 through 18. This is going to be a real challenge for you. They said to him, behold, now there are with your servants 50 strong men. Please let them go and search for your master. Perhaps the spirit of the Lord has taken him and cast him on some mountain or some valley. Then Elisha said, you shall not send them. But when they urged them, they urged him until he was ashamed. And he said, send them. They sent, therefore, 50 men, and they searched 3 days, but did not find him. They returned to him while he was staying in Jericho. And he said to them, did I not say to you, do not go? What a classic snapshot picture between Elisha, and the prophets that worked, the servants, the priests that worked with these two prophets. Elijah goes up in a whirlwind, okay? Elisha receives the mantle and the double portion of the Holy Spirit. He had sent 14 recorded miracles. Elijah had 7. Elijah was gone. See ya. He's the other person that didn't actually die. Elisha said, okay, he's gone. Let's keep going. But the people said, dude, the Holy Spirit could have carried him somewhere. Something could have happened to him. He could be on a mountain. He could be in the desert. He could be in a valley. We don't know. We should look for him. And Elisha said, no, he's gone. And they kept on going after him. Look at what verse 17 says. Look at 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 17. They urged him until he was ashamed. And so he said, okay. They went and they looked for him for 3 days. Guess what they found? Bupkis. They didn't find anything. He was gone. He was in heaven. You weren't going to find him. And then Elisha goes, I told you. Right? You see, even prophets, powerful men of God, yield to pressure from people. And he should have stuck to his guns. And he knew he should have stuck to his guns. And the thing is, you can't let people of the world, spiritual or not, persuade us contrary to what we know is true in God. We know what's true in God by the word. So it's not, that part's not complex. But we also know practicalities, and we have a general understanding of the functions of life. I mean, God did give us a brain for a reason. And some things we just understand. Talking evil about God or trying to insult him is a dumb idea. Telling God he didn't do a good job in creating man and woman, that's a dumb idea. Telling God that his words are stupid, that's a dumb idea. And we know it. And what happens is people shame us. Oh, well, how could you, you know, how could you do this? And what you and I don't catch is that's worldly wisdom. Bless you, T.
Thank you.
You're welcome. The idea is to understand that worldly wisdom can shame even a prophet from God, who did more miracles than any prophet prior to him. Just think about that. That the world, now, it's not that these priests, these servants were worldly, but it was the peer pressure, the people pressure. And what happened is he acquiesced. And then he was like, I can't believe I acquiesced. I just can't believe. I told you guys. I knew it. He was an I told you so, not just for them, but for him. My point is you don't let the world, you don't, let me tell you what you should never do. You should never listen to the news and think those people care about you. That is absurd. That is absurd. Most specifically national. I think some local people do pretty good. They really do have a care for their community. I don't have a problem with that. The national people, it's all about money and rating. You got to be kidding. One out of 1,000, maybe. Maybe. And my point is, you don't let them pressure you. You listen to something, you go, that doesn't seem right. Guess what? You're right. It's not right. Don't fall for it. Don't yield to it. Don't give in to it. Because this is going to get worse. And you think it's bad now? Oh, we got 3 weeks to an election. You think it's bad now? Here, I'll give you another prophetic statement. 2 years from now, it's going to be worse from the news, no matter what's going on. That's, there it is. Just write that down. Write down when I said that. Put a little mark by it. I'll sign it. Because it's guaranteed that's going to happen. And it's going to get worse. And you know what? You stick to your guns. You stick to the truth. Let me rephrase it. Stick to the sword. See, the sword, the word of God. Stick to the word. Don't move off of it. Okay? All right. Somebody calling in. Are they going to try and answer the trivia, or do they want to give me a pizza? Because today's a good day for a pizza, by the way. You think they can get an answer in? Okay, here we go. Okay, this is David. You only got 30 seconds. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is John.
Hi, John. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Do we know who it is who took that Solomon's stuff out of that temple?
Ahaz?
No, but that's an excellent guess. Technically, I think the technical, it was Nebuchadnezzar who required it to come out.
Oh, okay.
That's okay. That's you were right there. You knew what was going on, so that was a good job. So you did.
Oh, thank you.
You did a good job in pulling it out. But Nebi, the future cow, he was the one that did that.
Oh, right.
Okay, my brother.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. See, he came in there, gave it a shot. Good for him. But I couldn't have time to walk him through it. All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been running. What is the David Spoon Experience?
So the situation for the woman turned out to be fine. But remember, he's there with Jairus, and Jairus' daughter is dying. Verse 35, while Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader, and said, your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore? Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, don't be afraid, just believe. This is a situation for Jairus that went from worse to the worst. All right, you know how we said it can go from bad to worse? We were talking about that. Well, it can go from bad to worse to the worst. And this is the worst. The guy's daughter died.
Oh, she wasn't just really sick.
She died dead. And they even said to her, "What? There's no point in talking to this guy anymore. This is over. Situation done." And that's how a lot of us process. Situation done. But then Jesus does what Jesus does because he's so amazing. He overheard what they said to him. They didn't say it to Jesus. They said it to the guy. They said it to Jairus, right? And they said to him, "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just believe." So there are three things that you can't miss this. Number one, Jesus is telling the guy whose daughter just died, ignore them. It's like, can you imagine? Okay. The doctor just pronounced her dead. Yeah, ignore that guy. What? He's the doctor. Ignore that guy. That's just like the blind man who are like, people are telling him, be quiet, stop it, stop it. And he shouts out all the more. It's at some point you just got to ignore any external noise that hasn't been sanctioned by God and just go, yeah, I'm not paying attention to that.
What is the David Spoon Experience? Imagine yourself on a rocket ship racing at 1,000 miles an hour into space. Once there, you can sense the power and the presence of the majestic and the divine. You forget about your troubles and your fears, and you just float in peace without a worry in the world. There are no struggles, no pain, no discomfort. It's soothing, calm, comfortable. But then, the show starts. And you realize that none of that stuff has anything to do with the show. What were you thinking? The David Spoon Experience, only for the brave of heart and the bored.
Oh, welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I'm going to show you in a second. I'm going to purposely wait. I'm going to show you in a second how John, who just called in and asked, gave us a trivia answer, how absolutely brilliant the Lord is in putting all this stuff together. Wait till you see what I teach on in this last little bit and how it just connected with just what happened with John when we were talking about Nebuchadnezzar and the gold. Okay, so just hang in there. Just listen a little extra longer. It won't hurt you. I will give you the last trivia question for today. It's a pretty simple one. The question is, what was the name of Elijah's servant? Elisha's servant. So we're not talking about Elijah, because then the answer would have been Elisha. See? So now we're talking about E number two. E number one, Elijah. E number two, Elisha. Okay? Okay, so like Frank and Franklin. That might be a way that you might really understand. Frank and Franklin. There you go. Don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay, don't forget our website. Of course, there's where the bumper stickers are and other stuff, too. So tomorrow we have our expository on Philippians. Should be a lot of fun. And then, believe it or not, Friday I'm talking about sexual activity. So for those that are really fearful of stuff like that, don't listen because that's what I'm talking about. But it'll be in the context of Scripture as it always should be, as all of our lives should be. So here I want to just talk to you about. So we had this trivia question. The trivia question was, who took the gold? And then John called in and he you know, took a stab at it. And normally you guys know that if somebody's guessing, I try and take the time to walk them through to get them there. But because we were on a break, I didn't really have that opportunity. So, you know, I had to kind of just move it on. So I want to give the overall response and then show you how this is actually what's already in my hand to talk about. It's amazing. So the question really was, who took the gold that Solomon had in the temple. Who took it out of there? 2 Kings chapter 4, chapter 24, verse 13. So 2 Kings 24:13 says, as the Lord had declared, Nebuchadnezzar removed the treasures from the temple of the Lord and from the royal palace and cut up the gold articles that Solomon, king of Israel, had made for the temple of the Lord. Okay? That's the scriptural answer to the trivia question. Okay? But here's what's important for you to understand. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Examine everything carefully. That word examine in the Greek, as many of you probably know, is it's prove, P-R-O-V-E, in the King James, and it means to test, to examine. And the reason that we test it, the reason that we prove it, the reason that we make sure is because there are people like myself, like the greatest evangelists in the world, like Paul, like Billy Graham, like all of the in between, like the people before, like Elijah. Everybody makes mistakes unless their name is Jesus. And it's not that Paul wrote incorrectly. He had nothing in Scripture. The Scripture's inerrant. It's not a problem with Scripture. But it's not like everything Paul ever did was perfect. And in fact, you see Paul changing his attitude towards Mark when in the beginning he was really mad at Mark and like, I'm mad at that guy. And then he has a softer attitude as he gets older. And it's like people change. Things change. Billy Graham, one of the greatest evangelists, not just of our time, but of any time. He did not lead thousands of people to Christ. That's absolutely false. He led millions of people to Christ. Did he have faults? Just ask his wife. That's all you have to do. And she passed before you, but I'm just saying, all you do is ask her. She'll tell you. And so the idea is that we've all done everything perfect. What about Elijah? Elijah was such a great prophet. Yeah, he ran away when Jezebel threatened him. I mean, the idea here is to understand that we have to test everything. You got to prove it. And just because I give you an answer, you should make sure it's correct yourself. I'm not your answer. God already gave you his answer between Genesis 1:1 and Revelation 22:21. There's 66 books, about 786,000 words in the King James. If you're using a King James, that's where your answer is going to lie. And you got to prove it. And you think, well, why is that important? Acts 17:11. Now, these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, talking about the Bereans, for they received the word of God with great eagerness, examining in the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. In other words, Paul would say something and they would go, well, let's look it up. Just because Paul said it didn't mean they were buying it. They needed to examine it themselves. And I just think it was perfect because John calls it and he takes a stab at it. Then I say, what's this? It's cool that I can read the scripture after and give it to you. But let me tell you something. We ought to do that with one another. And if somebody's wrong, they're not a false prophet because they're wrong, because they made a mistake. It's a false prophet if they're denying the deity of Christ, salvation by grace. It's a false prophet if they're denying that God can write a book. That's different. If they give you the wrong quote, you know, hey, the right quote's here. Oh, good. I don't know everything that's in the framework of the scripture. Yeah, I've read it a ton of times, a ton more than most people. I mean, I think that's fairly true. I don't know it perfectly. I don't have a perfect memory. There, ask my wife. Believe me, I don't have a perfect memory. My point is, it's our job to test and to validate, make sure these things are so. Now, in this case, fortunately, when John called it, I had the passage right at hand, so that was it's easier for me to do. But I don't always have all of the things going on at the same. You need to check. It's your job. My job is to do what I can. This is my job, to do what I can to encourage you to draw closer to the Lord, to know him more through prayer, and to know him more through his word. It's your job to know that word. That's your job. That's what God requires of all of us. And just because somebody says something doesn't mean it's so. It's got to be examined. That cuts in multiple ways. It can be good. It can be bad. And there can be stuff that just comes from us. Here's the deal. The deal is Romans 8:14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We need to have the Holy Spirit leading us. and guiding us and teaching us. And we have the word to know where our absolute plumb line is. And you do that in concert. There's something Paul said really interesting when he was writing to the book of Romans. In the book of Romans, he said, it seemed good to me and to the Holy Spirit. It's a fascinating statement of theology. That seemed good to him and the Holy Spirit. Oh, that's good. Because sometimes the me, can get involved. You see what I'm saying? That's really important. Your job is to nose the word, which is why I say BFN. And I did say nose on purpose. BFN, keep your big fat nose in the book. Why? Because that's how you know what God has to say. If you want to understand whether God's ever spoken to you or not, if you know how he sounds through his word, you'll know. It seems so dumb because people say, well, read your Bible and pray. Boy, if they would just do that with a greater sense of understanding what that brings. All right, so we got 2 minutes. Do you have somebody calling in? I don't know if we'll be able to pull it off. Maybe. Maybe not. We're going to try it again. We're going to give it a shot. Here we go. Okay, this is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is John again, trying to go for the correct answer this time.
All right, my brother. And I hope you – I was trying to use that illustration. It was perfect how that actually happened because of what I was planning on teaching on. So that worked out really good. So
yeah.
That was really good. What? Okay, who my friend, who was his – who was the assistant for the prophet?
Gehazi.
That is correct, sir!
Yeah, one out of two ain't bad.
Yeah, you do. That's a good one, though. Because it's important to catch that. That's 2 Kings 4:25. But good job on that one. And I'm glad
Thanks,
that you
David.
Listened. I'm glad you called in and tried. People need to do that. It increases our knowledge.
It does. It makes me look it up.
There you go. Exactly what we want. Excellent
Get
job.
Into it.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right. See? John starts it. John closes it. How great was that? That was perfect. Okay, so all in all, I'm saying it's not like I'm out here to try and teach something wrong. If I say something wrong, I'm not trying to. And most people know that. But you, not David, you, and just insert your name, need to examine these things in the scripture. Make sure it's there. And if there's a variation in a translation or whatever, usually it means so little. There's not one doctrinal functional change in variations in translations. It's just absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely absurd. But some people get more when they read different translations. I'm one of those people. I like to hear it a couple of different ways. I'm Jewish. I need to hear it like 3 different ways, 4 different ways. Then I go, huh? That's me. All right. Excellent job, people. I love you guys. I pray for you every single day. I really, really appreciate you. Pray that the Lord bless you 10,000 times over. I do. All right, folks. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 23-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.